Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if you've got something to talk about, well, we'd like to talk with you about it. If you have a question from the Bible, if you have some issue in life that you're going through and can't quite get a grip on it, well, we would love to talk with you about it on this edition of Basic Gospel. So give us a call at 844-322-2742. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday we shared a verse out of Hebrews chapter 7. It's verse 25. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Now, this is a passage, this is a conclusion, a therefore verse in the book of Hebrews. And it comes at the tail end of a conversation that that the writer of Hebrews is taking us through, comparing and contrasting the Levites to the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Now, they did their duties. They did them faithfully. They carried them out until death occurred for them, and then the next generation picked up, and they continued those duties. And the sad reality, as far as the Levites were concerned, is they could never finish their work. They could never sit down. Why? Because the sacrifices they offered could never take away the sins of the people. The sacrifices they offered could never make perfect the people who drew near to God. As a matter of fact, those sacrifices were simply annual reminders of sin, that there was still a sin debt that was yet to be paid.
Right.
And so it kept them in fear of punishment. It kept them in fear. It kept them at an arm's distance from God himself. But Jesus, on the other hand, as a high priest, he offered himself once and for all, and his sacrifice took away the sins of the world. And because his sacrifice was that effective, then we're able to draw near to God in perfect worship. And then when Jesus saves us, it is not a temporary salvation. It's not a reprieve. It's none of those things. It is a full, permanent, eternal salvation. And the reason it's so is because Jesus Christ lives forever. His life is indestructible. And in salvation, we receive him. We receive his life. Paul talks about this in Colossians chapter 3. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. So what does Paul say there? He says Christ is going to come a second time, but he also says that this Jesus is your life right now.
Right.
Yeah. He is your life here and now. He is your life forever. So his life is indestructible. He gives you his life. That's what salvation is all about. You cross over from death to life. You're now one with Christ in spirit. And because he lives, you live. And so you can walk every day with the confidence that your salvation is complete, total, final, eternal. There's nothing more that needs to be done. There's not going to be something that's going to happen in the future that you're worried about whether or not it's going to come true for you. No, he's already saved you. He's already given you his life. His life is indestructible. He lives forever. He's constantly making intercession for you. So your salvation is complete. That's good news. So we just basically repeated what we talked about at the beginning of yesterday's broadcast, but I wanted to do so and add that passage out of Colossians chapter 3, when Christ, who is your life, appears. And that's an important truth that we need to understand, that God didn't just do something for us. He gave himself to us. Yeah. He gave Jesus to us. Christ has now become our life. We have been crucified. We no longer live, but Christ lives in us. That's the good news. And because he lives forever, because he has a permanent priesthood, guess what? Our salvation is secure and eternal.
Absolutely. And Bob, that is good news. And friends, We hope you're with us today to hear the good news, and we'd like for you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. The number 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. If you have something to talk about, a life issue or maybe a Bible passage, give us a call. 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, let's go and pick up this call that came in off hours.
Hey, Bob. It's reading Revelation chapter 7. I was wondering, is there any chance there's a 2,000-year gap between Revelation 7:8 and Revelation 7:9? And the reason I'm asking is, you know, I know that Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin and from Asher. James, the half-brother, probably would have been Judah. I think Matthew was Levi. So they all knew their tribes. And then everything went out from there, went out from Jerusalem into the whole world. Very next chapter, which is 8, you know, it says, woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth. And I know it's not the first time that, you know, preachers or people have gotten stuff wrong. So I thank you very much. Have a great day.
Well, you are welcome. Thanks for your call and thanks for your question. Is it possible that there's a 2,000-year gap between verse 7 and or verse 8 and verse 9 in Revelation 7? I don't think so. I don't think there's a 2,000-year gap there. I think this is just a different way or two different ways to describe the people of God, those who have been sealed by the Lord himself. And so the number 12, it's always looked at as a number of completeness or a number of fullness. So when he's talking about the 12,000 from each tribe, he's talking about the fullness of God's people that have come together. And then the very next verse, it's like he's seeing the people of God from a different vantage point. After this, I looked and behold a great multitude that no one can number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. So we know that this promise that God gave to Abraham that through his seed the whole world would be blessed has come true in Christ.
Right.
Christ is the seed, and anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord is going to be saved, whether Jew or Gentile, and we're all going to stand together as the bride of Christ. And I think he's just showing it, giving us some Jewish language, showing the completeness, the fullness of those who have come to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then he describes it as a great multitude. And that's true. There's a great multitude of believers throughout human history who have come to know Jesus and who are a part of the people of God. So I think that's how we should probably view this. There's something similar that we see in Revelation chapter 5. And there in chapter 5, we see God describing the Lion of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And then John turns, and guess what he sees? He sees a lamb, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Well, is he seeing two different creatures, two different entities there? No, absolutely not. God was just describing Jesus as the Lion of Judah, the King, sitting upon his throne. And then John looks and sees the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself. So I think that's similar to how John is writing about the people of God, those who have been sealed by God himself. It is the complete number, and it is a great multitude.
Yes, indeed. Well, we appreciate hearing from our callers, and when you call and leave a voicemail overnight, which we hope you do, of course, leave us at least your first name so we can call and say, hey, John's calling.
That's right.
844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on this edition. We want to hear from you live today, 844-322-2742. And for those of you who support Basic Gospel this month, we want to send you a copy of a wonderful resource that Bob Christopher has produced. It's called The New Covenant Journey, and it's a resource that will take you on a journey of a place of rest and equip you to live a life of abundance that is yours in Jesus Christ, because he has offered it to all of us. The New Covenant Journey. Click donate at Basic basicgospel.net and request your copy. We'd love for you to stand with us in support of this ministry.
Yes, we would. And we certainly need your help at this particular time. And I can't think of a more fitting time to invest in the gospel of Jesus Christ as Easter week fast approaches.
Yes.
We're going to be celebrating that next week. We're going to be, all of us as Christians, we are going to take that week and think about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and exactly what that means to us, the fact that our sins have been forgiven once and for all, that we stand before the Lord cleansed inside and out. We stand before the Lord holy and blameless. We stand before the Lord fully alive, fully righteous, fully reconciled because of the work of Jesus Christ, and filled with a living hope, knowing that one day when Christ returns, we're going to appear with him, we're going to receive our resurrected bodies, and that we're going to stand with him in the new heavens and the new earth. That's the gospel message.
Yep.
And it's the most important message that has ever been uttered on planet Earth. And it is the message that contains the power of God unto salvation. There's no other message out there that can penetrate to the very core of a person and bring life to a dead spirit,
yeah,
who can raise that person to life, where he crosses over from death to life in Jesus Christ. So I can think of no better time than right now to invest in the power of the gospel, and we're encouraging you to do so by making a gift to Basic Gospel. We need to hear from you. We would love to hear from you in the next, several days, next week. And let's all stand together in unity around the one message that saved each and every one of us by grace through faith.
Amen, brother. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. We want to hear from you, 844-322-2742. And I have a call that came in overnight. Bob, let's listen. This is one from Irene.
This is Irene from Illinois. I want to know what can be done about President Biden taking away our Constitution and our freedoms under the Bill of Rights. I don't understand how he can come in and just do these things, because it's not constitutional. Thank you.
Well, Irene, thanks for that question. I think we as Christians, I think it's our duty and our responsibility to pray for our leaders. And certainly that's the first line for each and every one of us. That's the front line as far as we as believers are concerned, is to be praying for President Biden, for Vice President Harris, for those in the Senate, for those in the House of Representatives, for those who sit on the Supreme Court, for our judges that are around the country in various posts. We need to be praying for everyone that is in office and serving we the people.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing that we need to do. The second thing is we certainly need to be diligent in examining the policies of any administration. This isn't just a Biden administrative thing. It's any administration. We need to look at the policies and how they are spending taxpayer dollars and some of the things that they are trying to push forward. And as believers, we raise our voices when things don't line up with what we want to see happen in this country, or when we see that they are going afar as far as the Constitution is concerned. So I think we can raise our voices to write letters to our representatives and just let our voices be heard that way.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that we can do. But let me encourage you to first and foremost pray for President Biden and the administration, and that his heart and his mind would start to see things from God's perspective and from the constant of the Constitution that we have as the document that governs the United States of America, this great constitutional republic that we have, that was put into effect. I think it was Benjamin Franklin that was asked a question, and he said, "It's a constitutional republic if we can keep it."
Right.
It always falls upon the shoulders of the citizens. It is our duty as American citizens to live out this great American experiment, and that requires a measure of virtue in each and every one of us to be able to carry that out. There's freedom, there's faith, there's virtue. Those are the three pillars of this constitutional republic. We can have a constitution, but if the citizens of the United States are choosing to do their own thing, to govern themselves in a way that is far from what the Constitution says, then this experiment isn't going to work. And so that's why we as believers continue to need to raise our voices. But let me be very, very clear. If our citizens are going to have virtue, if they're going to be able to live out this great American experiment, there's only one way that that's going to happen, and that's when their hearts have been made right with God. And that's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is so vitally important for the very essence and nature of our constitutional republic to be successful. So we as believers, first and foremost, need to be a voice for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hear a lot of Christians talk about the need for God in America, the need for the Ten Commandments in America, the need for this or that. But I think it's time for us to say, no, what America needs is Jesus. Who America needs is Jesus.
Yep.
What America needs is a very clear word from believers concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to hear about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus.
Indeed. Irene, great question. Thanks for posing that. And friends, if you have a question overnight, if you're hearing a delayed broadcast, well, you can pose your question just as the first caller and Irene did at 844-322-2742. It's the same number, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, we had this question from a young lady. She says, "I'm having a hard time being patient and waiting on God to bring my future husband. I desire marriage and being a wife and mom. How can I be patient in my singleness? I'm 26, and it is just so hard to keep waiting. Does God have singleness or marriage in store for me? Why does God have some people wait longer for marriage than others? I just feel like it will never happen for me and that God has forgotten about me. I pray every day for my future husband, and I hope he is praying for me, but God still hasn't answered my prayer. Are my prayers really making a difference, or am I wasting my time?"
Well, no, you're not wasting your time whatsoever, and I think that's a very good thing to pray about, pray about marriage. I mean, when God created Adam and Eve, when he created mankind, he created the male and female, and right at the very beginning, he instituted marriage, and he said it's a good thing, and he gave kind of the pillars of what marriage is supposed to be, and how, you know, he gave a grand design for it, that the man should leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. Paul later expounds on that in his letter to the Ephesians, and then throughout the course of the New Testament, we see that as we submit one to another, we learn to love one another by serving one another in love. So that's what marriage is all about. So for you to be praying for a future husband, I think you're praying according to the Word of God.
Yeah.
That's how God's designed us to be. He said those who remain single, they have a gift of singleness, and God has set them apart and is using them in a very, very special way. But as you wait for that person to come along, you grow in the Lord. And don't judge God based on whether your prayer is being answered according to your timetable. Judge God based on the demonstration of love that he displayed 2,000 years ago at the cross. He demonstrated his love for you, and that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died. So let the gospel, let the cross, let the burial, let the resurrection of Jesus Christ be your word from God that he cares for you, that he's interested in you, that he loves you, that he saved you, and grow in that relationship with God.
Yeah.
That's how you're going to be prepared to serve a husband in love when that guy comes along. So you continue to grow in grace, continue to pray about a marriage, but leave that in the hands of God.
Sure.
Let him do what he can do. Every time that we try to jump in and help God along, and so his answer to our prayers can be more in line with our timetable, we get ourselves into a heap of trouble.
Yeah.
We saw that with Abraham and Sarah.
Right.
God had promised a son, and the timing was way off, and they were getting old in age and thinking, oh, this is never going to happen. We're reaching to the point that it's going to be impossible. So they come up with a scheme to help God along. And so Sarah said, Abram, here is Hagar, our servant, so you take her in and you conceive a child with her, and that child will be our son of promise. And they did that, and Hagar gave birth to Ishmael, and that's been a problem ever since.
Yes.
And why? Because Abram and Sarah decided to help God along. God doesn't need help. And God knows the beginning and the end and everything in between. So let's just leave those things into his hands. And in the meantime, let's be content with who we are in Christ right now. If you think you can only be content if you have a husband, then you'll never be content in the Lord. You'll get that husband, and you'll find that he can't bring you contentment, so you're going to look for something else, and then you'll look for something else. What you need to do is step back and say, Lord, I just want to be content with you right now. I want to grow in grace. I want to grow in the knowledge of who you are, and I'm going to leave this marriage thing to you and let you, in the meantime, prepare me and equip me for when that time does come.
Take this final minute and answer this question really quick, Bob. It says, if you're in Christ, can you have a conversation with him? He's the only dad I've ever known, but I'm always afraid that he'll get tired of me and wipe me out. Are there any verses, any suggestions? I'm burned out.
Well, yes, you can have a conversation with him. He says to pray without ceasing. That's the conversation. So have that. Will he ever get sick and tired of you? Absolutely not. Is there anything that you need to fear as far as your relationship with God is concerned? Absolutely not. Why? Because the one thing that you would fear as far as God is concerned is punishment for your sins, and Jesus Christ has already taken that punishment for you.
Yeah.
So his perfect love will cast out that fear in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So no, he's delighted with you. He loves you. He wants to be with you. That's why he sent Jesus, so this relationship could be established, and he established it as an eternal relationship. So rest assured that he is delighted to enjoy you and to enjoy you forever.
You took more than a minute.
I did.
You realize? What's new, huh?
That's right.
Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us for this edition. Remember, Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we would love for you to go right now to basicgospel.net and make a contribution to support the ongoing message of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, for Bob and the staff, I'm Bob Davis. We'll see you tomorrow for Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.